Worship ministry has changed drastically over the last 25 years, especially for pianists, and that change hasn't always been easy. Today we hear from Christy Stills, who has been a pianist in a traditional piano and organ worship ministry and has also spent the last 10 years playing with a worship band.
You learn when there's opportunities to stand out as a pianist, and then there are opportunities for you to support the guitarist on their little riff of the song. And when, you know, when everybody works together like that, it's so amazing.
Christy also shares with us her journey as a composer, her success at getting her music out on Spotify, including one song, Lavender Fog, which has more than 500,000 plays.
One thing I would say is, and this is very hard to do, I would say try not to compare yourself to other artists who are doing similar things. I struggled with that in the very beginning. I thought, oh man, if I could just get to where so-and-so is, you know, we're all on a different path.
Right. Christy can be found on Spotify at Christy Stills, C-H-R-I-S-T-I Stills, S-T-I-L-L-S, as well as on Facebook and Instagram.
It's time once again for the Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast.
Worship Ministry Catalyst is a resource for all worship leaders and team members serving in the local church.
So take a seat at the table and join the conversation as we discuss all things worship, from team dynamics to technology and song selection.
And now it's time for the show.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast. I got a real treat for us today. I think it's a real treat. I'm excited to have this conversation. And Joe may join us. We'll see. He's doing his day job. So sometimes his work requires him to skip out on things, and we appreciate that he has an income. We appreciate that he has a roof over his head. So we're gonna just be thankful that he's able to do those kinds of things. And if he joins us, it'll be a blessing. If not, we'll catch him next time. But today we're going to be talking with someone that I've actually been talking with a little bit over the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 months, I guess, maybe since March, whatever, however many months that is, and someone that's been a real encouragement to me, someone that's also quite a bit further down the road, in a road that I'm starting to travel on, and has offered a lot of wisdom and insight into that, and also just has a lot of wisdom, insight, experience in the worship world and music world. And so I'd like to welcome to the Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast for the first time, Christy Stills. Christy, how are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing good. How are you, David? Oh, it's morning time where you're at.
Yes, it's morning. Yeah, you're in Nashville. It's afternoon. We're in the West Coast. It's still morning. It's an hour and a half until lunch for us, so that's...
Right. I'm done with lunch.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Well, If you don't mind, if you could just take a few seconds and kind of introduce yourself to us, and just give us a little bit of an overview of your life and your journey to this point, and whatever you feel appropriate to share, that's what we'll take.
Okay. Well, my name is Christy Stills, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come onto your podcast and chat. David, I think you and I met through, I can't remember which Facebook it was, but I saw there was a thread where you were talking about a playlist, and I think that's how we connected. Yep. So that was really neat. Anyway, David and I are on similar journeys, because he has put out an album of hymns. And interestingly, I started out that way too, November of 2018. I released an album called All the Day Long. That's a CD for people who have old-fashioned cars that still have CD players.
Right.
So,
a friend of mine actually just released another hymn CD last year, I think it was, and it was only on CD. and I had to find something to play it on because we have CD players in our cars, but they don't work anymore. So I'm like, how am I going to listen to this?
Right. My husband actually still has a cassette player in his airport truck that he runs back and forth to work with. So anyway, so yeah, we've got all the vehicles here. And then in June of, I think it was, well, let me look on here. It was June of 2019. I did a CD of originals. That's Lavender Fog. And those are all piano solos. So anyway, that's kind of where I started with all this.
I didn't ask this beforehand.
Yeah.
Can I play a little bit of any of those?
Sure. Was that? Oh, sure. That'll be fine.
I've got Lavender Fog pulled up here on Spotify. We'll give the listeners just a few seconds to hear it. Might need to turn it up. Taste of what Christy does. It's really beautiful music. And sorry, I interrupted you. So go ahead, continue on.
Oh, no, that's great. Thank you. So anyway, that's, you know, I didn't really, before I did these CDs, I wasn't really plugged into Spotify or streaming platforms or anything like that.
Right.
So that was like a huge learning curve. Just figuring out people aren't going to buy CDs. They're
right.
Streaming now.
Right.
So, but you know, life is seems to be a perpetual learning curve.
Yeah. Especially lately.
So anyway, yes, especially lately. So anyway, you know, getting into the whole Spotify thing, that was like a new avenue of connection with people from all over the world. Which I didn't have intentions of that. I think we kind of had similar journeys in that, I would play hymn arrangements for communion
right.
and for offertories. And I, you know, people began to start coming up to me saying, hey, you need to make a CD of your music. And I put it off for years and years.
Yep.
But you know, that goes with the seasons of life. So I've mostly been consumed with family life,
right.
homeschooling my kids, and that's coming to a close pretty soon. So really, it's an exciting journey, and I'm kind of shifting into that, you know, what's going to happen next for empty nesting and all that.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit. Your life as a homeschool mom, what was that journey like for you?
Well, let's see. It's been about 25 years.
Okay.
I've been in that journey. My kids are 10 and a half years apart.
Okay.
I've got two kids. And I loved it because it was an opportunity for me to learn everything I didn't pay attention to when I was in school. So,
right, yeah.
There are a lot of good memories and a lot of good opportunities through that journey.
And it sounds like you're about to wrap that up or have wrapped that up?
We've wrapped it up. The baby has graduated.
Okay.
So
was that recently? Was that this year?
It was June 5th.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
It was supposed to be mostly good. So, yeah, he was supposed to graduate May 18th, and it was a group homeschool graduation, and like half of our families got COVID all at the same time. And so,
wow.
So anyway, we shifted graduation to June 5th. So, and amazingly, it all worked out.
Wow.
It came together.
That's great. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is it hard on you though, kind of being done? I mean, these are your kids, your babies, and now you're done with that season.
It is. Yeah, it's bittersweet. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm taking those experiences and I'm delving into tutoring with other kids, you know, in the journey, trying to help other moms, encourage other moms who are, you know, we all have our good days and then our other days.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of experience with that, you know, I want to take with me and help somebody else whenever I can.
Yeah, that's great.
So.
And that, yeah. And we've talked about this, or I think you commented on it a little bit with, when Joe and I were talking about the article that Fred had written about, you know, just kind of how our worship world, and, I've talked a lot about this, kind of ranted on it. I kind of get on these soapboxes from time to time, but, that our worship world seems to be going counter, I don't know. I don't want to say counter biblical, but just kind of going against what, you know, a lot of wisdom that has been laid out for thousands of years. In that, when people like myself kind of get, you know, up there in years. Now I'm 41, turning 42, but I was trained in a lot more classical, traditional setting, and so, you know, I've kind of gone through a transition where now, because of my skill set and because of my age, I'm not really relevant in most churches when it comes to being a worship leader, and I don't think I could get a job in a lot of churches as their worship leader. And I might be able to get a job as, you know, as a behind the scenes person, maybe a worship producer or something like that, but our worship world has lost its appreciation for mentorship. And like you just said, with homeschooling, you know, being able to come alongside others who are going through the journey on their own, maybe for the first time, and kind of encourage them and share what you learned in your 25 years of doing that. I mean, that's a huge wealth of information that if someone else can tap into that, then they're going to save themselves a lot of pain and frustration and headaches. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of missing that in the worship world. And so I think you had some thoughts on that. I'll put you on the spot if you have anything about that for worship ministries.
Well, I will say, you know, I've felt the shift. I'm approaching the 50s crowd really soon. Interestingly, you know, I was in a church for a long time where, you know, it's piano and organ. Mm-hmm. And the pianist would pretty much play a vital role in keeping the momentum of the music going.
Right.
And then our current church, we've been there for probably close to 10 years. That was a huge shift. Mm-hmm. We had a very small worship team back then. And then fast forwarding to now, I'm probably one of the musicians that's been on the worship team the longest. And we have about we're blessed with three great leaders. Mm-hmm. Who kind of rotate around. But two of them are extremely, a lot younger than I am. you know, they were probably 12 when we first came to the church. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel very blessed because, I feel like they've offered our team a lot of flexibility as far as what each individual musician is capable mm-hmm. of. It seems like our leaders work really hard to draw out the gifts.
Good.
Of each musician. So it's, I mean, you know, I've had my moments of resistance with certain things like, oh, we're going to do that chord and that. No. Okay. You know, but they've been wonderful, and I've been blessed to work with a great team of people. So,
yeah.
And you know, it goes back to the learning curve thing. It really is an art that, you know, it's learned over a period of time. Mm-hmm. And you know, you learn when there's opportunities to stand out as a pianist, and then there are opportunities for you to support the guitarist on their little right. riff of the song. And when, you know, when everybody works together like that, it's so amazing, what comes out of a purposeful practice time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we have those purposeful practices, sometimes it's just, you know, it's chaos. We can't seem to get it together. And then, you know, we're actually worshiping on Sunday mornings with our congregation. And it's just, it's like God brings it all together like clockwork. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's truly amazing. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm glad to hear that. That's, those are some, encouraging things to hear. You know, I appreciate, how you said your worship leaders and your church in general, it sounds like, you know, it's not just good teamwork. I would say it's good Christianity, right? Everyone has different gifts and sometimes you need this gift in this situation and you need a different gift in a different situation. And, it's not always only for the one person with the loudest gift, I should say,
right?
And you just kind of thinking of the imagery of scripture and the mouth, you know, that then that's kind of the ones we spend the most of our time and attention on are the vocal ones, the ones that garner the most attention. But you know, especially in a band or in a music setting, you know, all the pieces are important, and when you start missing some of them, then you start to feel how important they are. But it's oftentimes you don't notice that until you start missing them, until they're gone.
Right.
And one of the Absolutely. I think you know one of the things is you know the a good pianist, a good keyboardist, really fills in a lot of gaps and really makes it in a lot of situations makes it easier for a guitarist to shine or, you know, for other solo instruments to be able to shine. And if that, you know, if that's out on its own by itself without a nice supportive instrument like the piano, then it can kind of stand out like a sore thumb, but it just, when it's a part of a team, it works really well. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've been in worship ministry for a long time.
Well, yeah, probably more in the worship team setting, you know, probably about the past 10 years. Okay. As far as piano, my dad made me play when I was 16. Okay. He's like, our church doesn't have a pianist. You can do it. Get up there and do it. And, you know, I don't have any regrets of his pushing me to do it because, you know, I needed somebody to push me, obviously. And, you know, it's, you know, we'll all tell everybody that it's a gift from the Lord. He gives it to us. And it was probably, you know, what would you call it? Like the seed hasn't germinated yet. Right. The gift hadn't really come to manifest itself yet, but it was hidden. And my dad realized that. So he started putting me up there at 16 and, that's kind of where I got started. And, you know, my heart wasn't always in it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how God brings that joy to the gift eventually. And it's like, wow, this is, you know, it's the best, mm-hmm. you know, it's a privilege to do it.
Yeah.
So
was your dad a pastor then or?
Not at the time. Not when I was 16. Okay. He did pastor some later on. But you know, he is probably one of my primary, influencers. He would sing to me when I was little, he would play the guitar. He would do the frets and I would go and I would strum and sing along. So he was very influential, in who I am as a person today. So.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good tribute to your dad the day after Father's Day.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yes. So I want to maybe talk a little bit, if you're okay, about your music. And so you've composed quite a bit of music. I see not only your Lavender Fog, but I hadn't seen this one yet, the Journey of a Waltz that you did with, how do you say his name? Cheeky?
Oh, that's Cheeky Serrano. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's interesting because I met him through a Facebook group also. He was doing one of those playlist opportunities. And so I thought, oh, a cello player. I need a cello player. And I listened to something he did. what was it? I think it was 1,000 years. I listened to that and I thought, this is the sound I really want. And it was one of those things where it was like, you know, he's probably a super uber professional person. And, you know, who am I, a little person asking, you know, hey, can we collaborate on something? And, you know, he was gracious to respond and to be willing to try to collaborate. And I think we started that in January, and we had it together by February to put out. He doesn't speak any English. I don't speak any Spanish. Oh, wow. So we did like Google Translate and Facebook chat, and it was hilarious, but it was really a neat opportunity. Wonderful experience.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll talk about that now. I was interested in that idea. And I know we have a lot of artists listening, a lot of people probably wanting to figure out Spotify themselves and how to get their music out there. And that's been something I've been kind of asking you questions about, because you're doing well. I think you're doing well. From my perspective, you're doing well. And but that was one of the things I when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's something that I was thinking about, you know, with, you know, country musicians and you know just kind of mainstream artists do that all the time, or they'll collaborate with someone. Mm-hmm. And it seems like even recently, almost all of the Grammy winners have, you know, Grammy song winners and Song of the Year have been some kind of collaboration. It's not it hasn't been a solo artist for a while. What are your thoughts on collaboration and getting, you know, kind of getting your music out there, maybe helping other artists get started in that way?
Well, I feel like, I know it was going on before COVID, but I feel like it's something that artists did more of, because, you know, we're all trapped at home. So that's where I started noticing that a lot of my artist friends were doing that. And I did, you know, I did approach some of them and ask questions, you know, what does this look like? And, you know, it seems like every individual situation is unique. Mm-hmm. As far as, you know, you've got to look at your expectations and the other person's expectations and, you know, figuring out, can we do this together well? Can we mesh? You know, because sometimes you have a more dominant personality. Right. So, you know, you get two dominant people together. I don't know if that would be easy or not. Right. And I've only done, you know, the one collaboration so far. But you know, we have this modern technology that enables us to do that nowadays.
All online then, I'm guessing?
It was, wow. Yeah. It was all online.
So where is Cheeky? Where does he reside?
Okay, he is in, I believe it's Toledo, Spain.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, different culture and
different
everything.
Yeah.
So, right.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's fun.
But it was interesting. You know, I had the main portion of it written, and I sent it to him. I said, hey, I wrote a cello part for this, but I'd like to see what you could do with it. So that cello part in there, he actually wrote that and performed it and everything. And then he put it all together, and he came up with the idea for the video. And that was, you know, that was probably the hardest part, was putting the video together and syncing everything, because I had to make my portion of the video here, and then he had to do it there. So,
okay. So where's the video?
Yeah.
Where do you find the video?
The video is on YouTube, and it's under you can find it either under my name, Christy Stills. You can subscribe to me there. Or Cheeky Serrano also has the video under his subscriber name as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, YouTube is another one of those things that barely gotten into until this, and then we thought, well, we should have been doing this all along. If we had, how much further ahead would we be by now? But
there's so much.
Yeah.
So there really is.
You're a composer. Were you professionally trained, or did you train yourself?
No, I barely know anything as far as the probably the academic side of music theory. I know my one chord and my four chord and my five chord. I can play a C scale. but my composing, I guess it started out probably when Mom put me in lessons. I didn't have that. I don't think I had quite, I was in second grade. I don't think I had that cognitive ability yet to sight read. So the teacher would show me how the song went and I would just copy what she did. And I was very auditory. So, you know, I could hear something and go up to the piano and play it. I remember doing like the Mellow Yellow commercial. You know, I picked it out on the piano when I was about nine, if that gives you any idea of my age. But where was I going with that? Composing. So I guess it's something I've done, you know, ever since there's been a piano in the living room, just picking things out. And then a lot of my process now is, you know, riding down the road, there's a tune in my head. I don't know how it got there. You know, obviously the Lord put it there. Mm-hmm. And so I don't always, you know, I'm not always sitting at my computer where I can, you know, capture that melody. So sometimes it's pulling into the gas station and grabbing a receipt, you know, G-A-B-D, you know. So as far as being trained, it's something, it's probably more of a self-learned journey mm-hmm. that I've been on, so.
But then somewhere along the way, you've picked up a lot of skills like transcribing music, so.
Uh-huh.
That's
right. Backwards. I learned to sight read backwards. I learn it auditorily. And then, you know, thankfully the transcribing tools we have play it back. So, right. So I can check my work a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of went through this lifelong journey of it. So it sounds like playing by ear and then, mm-hmm. That's basically how I've learned. But somewhere along the way, you started composing. So what does it look like then when you're composing a song? You know, you just mentioned pulling off to the side of the road to get an idea. But mm-hmm. but how do you go from, you know, a little snippet of an idea to a full-blown composition?
I feel like it's like a simmering process. It doesn't happen overnight. I have to sit and play with it. And, you know, I have things I've been editing and altering for months now, obviously. And I haven't been able to go back to the studio to record for a long time. So it's just, you know, things keep changing and evolving with everything I'm working on, it seems like. So it's, you know, it's an art. It can't be rushed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then it sounds like you do most of your recording in the studio. You go to a studio.
I do. I haven't learned the technology of recording yet. It hasn't been something I've really desired to do. I may have to at some point. But yeah. And then, you know, and then there's that complexity of, you know, when you use a studio, you've got to pay to have the piano tuned. So
right.
It's like, how much can I cram into the session right. to make it worth it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was another because I was listening to it just this morning before we were talking. Like, that sounds really good. It sounds like a real piano. And of course, I don't use a real piano when I record. It's all digital. What's the name of the? I'm not going to remember it. I'm going to have to think of it. but I just bought a piano sample last year. To use, and it's the piano I would love to have. It's the Yamaha. It's the it's CFX Concert Grand. It's put out by Garriton, but it's, you know, it's the C7, which they recorded in some multi-million mm-hmm. dollar studio, and you know, all the nuance and everything like that. But you know, a C7 piano, a Yamaha C7 is like 70, 80, maybe more, $100,000 depending on what you're wanting.
Well, your recordings sound amazing.
Well, thank you. But that's their credit. That's why they sound like real pianos, because it's those guys that did
it. I thought it was real.
But yeah, so then you live in Nashville, so I'm guessing you have a lot of studios to choose from.
Well, I actually I'm in Knoxville, okay. So I'm a few hours from Nashville.
Okay, I apologize.
Oh no, that's fine. Right now I have a studio in Asheville, North Carolina that I've been going to, recording on a C6.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's where I started out, and I've learned a lot, and it's been a good experience, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, are you working on anything new right now? It sounds like, do you have anything in the pipeline you're getting ready to release
I
sometime?
I do. I don't have anything ready to release. I have, probably at least a dozen or more compositions I'm working on. And I, you know, now that I'm through this busy season with homeschooling, graduating my baby and all that, I'm ready to put all that together and plan another trip to the studio.
Okay,
so
cool. So right. Sometime in the next year or so, maybe we'll hear.
Hopefully,
something from you.
I'd like to before fall, okay. If I can get it all together. Yeah. So like to put more out there. So
what would, if someone's listening and they're, you know, a starting artist, not a starving artist, but a starting artist, what would be a few tips that you would give them to help get started and get their music heard on Spotify and other places out there where they can start maybe earning a little bit of an income off of their passion?
Tips. Repeat that question one more time for me.
What would be some advice you would give to artists that are starting their journey of getting their music heard by people outside their family?
One thing I would say is, and this is very hard to do, I would say try not to compare yourself to other artists who are doing similar things. I struggled with that in the very beginning. I thought, oh man, if I could just get to where so-and-so is, you know, we're all on a different path.
Right.
And God has woven us each uniquely. I don't think he wanted us to have a boring world of people who could all do the same thing,
right,
like each other.
Yeah.
So I would say try really hard not to compare yourself to other artists doing similar things. And also reach out, you know, if you see someone who's doing something that you like, reach out to them and, you know, get tips from them on what they're doing and how they're doing it. I've been very blessed to have some good mentors, along the way. And that has been huge in, you know, just keeping the momentum up and not wanting to give up when it gets hard. So,
right. Yeah, that's, you know, that's one of the things, you know, that I appreciate about you is that you've mentored me in some ways about getting some other listeners and some lists that you can submit to and that sort of a thing. And that's good advice. I don't think that I'm following that advice because I'm still comparing myself to people. And it's like, man, you know, I'm kind of stuck. I kind of peaked at the moment for my listeners around 170 or so. I peaked at a couple hundred and then have kind of dropped back down to 170. I'm like, I don't know I don't even know how it's possible to get
right
to 1,000, let alone, you know, 10,000, let alone, you know, you go look at some of the guys that I like to follow and they've got you know, 1 million or 2 million or 6 million monthly listeners. I'm like, how is that even possible? It just doesn't seem like it was even something that could be done by a human. There must be something else behind it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we both know that didn't happen overnight,
right,
for them.
Right.
So that's what we have to remind ourselves. It didn't come overnight. And, you know, it's, I just look for the little opportunities to connect with people. And, you know, sometimes it comes into conversation what I do, especially, you know, when it comes to like young moms with babies, it's like, oh, hey, I got some music you might be interested in to put to put your baby to sleep at night. Yeah. It might be helpful, you know, try it, you know. So just looking for those opportunities, even just on a regular basis of connecting with people.
Yeah.
And it's a slow climb. And I know I look at those numbers every day too. It's like, oh man, I dropped another 200. How did that happen?
Right. So, yeah, that's your song Lavender Fog off of the album has like 500,000 listens. So that's pretty remarkable, okay. Right?
yeah. So.
I don't know. I think that's pretty good. But then it's easy then to go looking at some of the others and say, oh well, I don't know if I can ever get to that level. And maybe, you know, I don't know that of course it'd be nice to get to that level in some respects, mm-hmm. but that can't be, I don't think, our driving force of why we're doing what we're doing. Otherwise,
absolutely.
Then it just kind of becomes, I think we kind of become a part of the problem. We just become a part of the commercial machine that's just trying to put out product to try to get, you know, a certain result, as opposed to because it's something mm-hmm. we're passionate and gifted in. So,
Right.
So if something,
we love what we do, right. And that's what keeps us going with it. So,
yeah. Well, anything else you want to share with us this morning? I'm looking over my list here. Of questions.
Well, you know, as far as parenting, you know, listen to your kids, watch your kids. I will say that I'm more of an outside the box learner. I didn't do well academically growing up. And, you know, henceforth, I didn't get very far in the standard world of education. But you know, everyone has gifts mm-hmm. that God has given them. And that's what I learned to do later in life with my kids. It's like, you know, just watch them and see what their desires are, what drives them, and, you know, support them and help them through their journey, because, you know, that's where they're going to be confident. And if they can be confident in those areas, it's going to help them in a lot of other areas, you know, when they have to do hard work, when they have to endure. So, mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. It's hard for any of us, but especially our kids, to persevere through a challenging, you know, season, if it's not something that they're passionate about, if it's not something that's coming from inside them, if it's something that we're putting on them from the outside. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to figure that out with our kids, trying to help them, because the tendency, you know, I want them to all work on music, and I've done a poor job at teaching them music, and part of that's because I learned by ear for the most part. That's how I play, by ear. And so I don't even have I actually studied music theory and composition in college, but I don't have a method, you know, like I don't have a method for teaching someone else music. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, I understand music, but most of it's kind of almost in retrospect and kind of cobbled together after the fact, as opposed to mm-hmm. learning it the right way. And so, you know, I've really not taught my kids music as well as I want to, and trying to figure out how to do that. We're actually trying an app right now to try to work the kids through just some of the basics of piano. And it's the what's it called? Musician.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so far, I think they're kind of having fun with it. And that was the problem, because I wasn't confident in teaching, because I wasn't confident in how to teach. Then, you know, I'm trying to work through a book, and trying to help them learn the right way, so that they're not learning how I learned. And I'm frustrated because I don't know how, like, I don't know what the book was trying to accomplish in this, you know, in this section, or, you know, in the first, you know, this mm-hmm. this set of lessons, and then they're kind of getting frustrated because I'm frustrated. It's like, so this is just isn't working. We're gonna try something different. But That was a long roundabout way of saying, so I want them to learn music, but at the same time, I want, you know, I want them to use their gifting, and that may not be music, and I want to be okay with that. I grew up in a musical family, so it kind of feels like, mm-hmm. like we need to be a musical family, but at the same time,
right.
God has gifted different all of us differently with our arts, and I think every human being is creative. That doesn't mean we're all musical.
Yeah, I can relate well to that, because with our daughter, she picked up with flute and oboe, you know, earlier on, and my husband and I are both musical, and so we automatically thought our son's gonna trail along, and, you know, we tried piano lessons with him, and, you know, he really didn't enjoy it. And I thought, this is not a battle I want to fight,
right.
because maybe it's just not meant to be.
Right.
But then in the last year or so, he has really picked up, and, you know, he'll sit down at the piano and try different things. And he's got that, you know, that gift of playing by ear. And so I've tried to watch him and support him in that. And encourage him, because, you know, music is a thing you can take with you on your lifelong
right.
journey. So,
yeah, that's something when I was primarily a worship pastor, not a senior pastor, I was always, you know, talking with parents, and I kind of don't appreciate, you know, youth sports all that much. And part of the reason is because it's so time consuming. And it's so mm-hmm. temporary.
Right.
you've got your physical strength for only so long, but you've got mm-hmm. you know, you've got your ability to be musical or creative for your whole life, or most
right.
of your life. I mean, even, you know, I had a senior pastor who played piano, and he had arthritis really bad in his hands, but I'd still hear him playing the piano, you know, when he was 78, mm-hmm. you know, 79 years old in the sanctuary from time to time. And so there's
right.
even when our bodies start to fail, we still have the ability to express that creativity if we've invested in it. So,
right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I'll give you the final
yeah.
word. What word of encouragement would you have to either, you know, young pianists who are trying to get started out there, or other pianists, keyboardists who are playing in worship teams across the country and not quite sure what they're offering to the team and how they can help? What would you give to those listening in?
Well, I would say keep striving. We're all striving. Keep serving, and excel still more, because he is worthy. And just keep on with it. It's a growing thing. It's not going to happen overnight. But you're going to experience a lot of joy in the journey. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being with us here
okay.
today on the Worship Ministry Catalyst podcast. And we thank you for your music. We thank you for your ministry, mm-hmm. not just what we get to listen to on Spotify, but your ministry there in your local church, and just your ability to come alongside people who may not have as much experience as you, and just offer your advice to them and encourage them.